ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः।
Until this time, the Guru has been trying to inject the truth into the mind and heart of the disciple. What is the difference between the mind, that which is beset with doubts, with hesitations, that is called the function of the mind. And the buddhi is slowly, through spiritual practice, the sadhaka has attained to that state, is firmly convinced what the guru had taught is absolutely fine, what the guru had taught is absolutely true, and it is time for me to realize. One of the fundamental principles of Vedas is this fact, the fact that the highest truth has to be realized. We discussed about it. Sakshatkara is the second pillar of Vedanta. Brahma, Sakshatkara, the theory of the Ishtadevata Siddhanta, and the law of karma. At last, the teachings of the Guru, Shastra, aided by rationality, reasoning, has helped the disciple to attain to that state of knowledge. This is what is being described by Bhagavan Shankaracharya in the 479th verse. Iti Guru Vachanat Shruti Pramanat Param Avagamya Satatvam Atma Yuktya Prashamita Karanaha Samahitatma Kvachit Achalakritihi Atmanishthito Abhut. This verse contains the most wonderful guideline for all of us. First of all, this verse is confirming to us that accepting through the mouth of the Sadguru, no one can attain to that highest truth, because the authority, the doubtless conviction that what I hear is absolutely true, not only what I hear, but also how I understand it. One of the necessities of a guru is not merely to hear the scriptures, but to get the right interpretation, and this right interpretation depends upon the qualifications of the disciple. I have given in the past a beautiful example. There was a great saint, and a villager came to him. This young man was very sincere. He wanted to realize God. So he took mantra deeksha from the guru, and guru asked him to enter into a small hut, and the hut has a very low door. One has to practically crawl into the hut. But once a person enters, there was sufficient space for him to sit or stand. So the disciple went inside, and very soon he came out running and said, "Guruji, what you taught is not understandable by me. Nothing enters into my mind." The guru was a great teacher, endowed with intelligence. And here the Shruti, the scripture tells us that even among teachers, two conditions must be fulfilled if they have to be very successful and fruitive teachers. The first is they must realize God. Of course, through direct experience alone, the authority will come. But that alone will not do. The teacher also must have the capacity to convey what he realized and what he understood from the scriptures appropriately to the disciple. Again, I will give a small example before continuing. There was an incident. Two of the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna had to cross by boat to reach Dakshineswar, and one day one of the disciples, perhaps many of you recollected, Swami Yogananda, was coming by a boat. Fellow passengers were criticizing Sri Ramakrishna. He kept quiet, thinking, what do these ignoramuses know? And probably he felt very satisfied within. He came to Sri Ramakrishna and narrated his experience. Sri Ramakrishna gave him a good blow to his ego and said, what? People are criticizing your guru and you kept quiet. Do you know what the scriptures say? That either you have to fight them, finish them, or run away from there. And you kept quiet. So that was a great aid for Swami Yogananda's spiritual progress, because his nature did not help him in progressing in spiritual life. Same incident happened with Swami Niranjanandaji, and he started rocking the boat and threatened that he will drown the boat. And all the passengers, even those who didn't say anything, including the boatman, they all felt terribly frightened, apologized to him, pacified him. Then Niranjanandaji came to Dakshineswar and reported. And this time, Ramakrishna's reaction was totally different. He said, what is this? Some people criticized me. And what did the other people do? They were innocent people. Not only that, you were ready to deprive the poor boatman of his only livelihood. Should you have so much of annoyance? What if I am criticized? What is your heading? So, two types of reactions to the same type of incident. What does that teach us? That Sri Ramakrishna, being a supreme teacher, he had to correct both the disciples. Correction means he had to give the right understanding to them and to help them to move towards the goal, which is God realization. So here, this guru understood, called the villager and asked him, what is it you love most? And being a villager, he said, sir, I have a buffalo and I love it most. Okay, now you go within the hut and that buffalo is Parabrahma and meditate upon it. It is God. Joyfully, the villager entered into the hut, and several hours there was no news of him. So the guru peeped inside and said, hey, come out. And the guru said, sir, I want to come out, but I am unable to come out because the big horns do not allow me to go out of this small door. Which means that the person became so much absorbed on meditation on his pet buffalo. But here we have to also be intelligent to understand, when a person becomes absorbed in anything, it doesn't matter, the form, name, everything disappears, excepting the idea. Only the idea remains. The guru told him, the buffalo is God. God is the central idea. So, we have to guess that this disciple has completely been absorbed in the idea of God. Do not to misunderstand it, that he was thinking of only a buffalo. As an aid, forms and names are necessary, and that was the great lesson Swami Vivekananda had taught to one of the kings in Rajasthan. Coming back to our subject, that what is the most important lesson we have to learn? That any other knowledge perhaps could be learned independently, but this knowledge of spirituality, this supreme knowledge, can never be understood and even it can lead to misunderstanding if it doesn't come through a right guru, right teacher, Sadguru. And even here, our scriptures make a tremendous emphasis. Even the guru may be a great person, but he must also come from a tradition, guru, sishya, sampradaya. That's one of the meanings of the Shruti. If a guru doesn't belong to a sampradaya, then however great he may be, that guru is not acceptable at all. That is why three qualities: he must be Brahmagna, and he must be Shruti Paraga. He must be completely able to understand, and he must be skillful in teaching the disciple, and each disciple separately. There is nothing called en masse teaching in spiritual tradition. So he is telling, Guru Vachanath, from a Sadguru who belongs to a Sampradaya, who is a man of realization, and he also belongs to a Sampradaya, and he is authorized, most importantly, as Ramakrishna says, that you can convey this teaching to your disciple. To emphasize this point, while we were studying the Mundaka Upanishad, we come across Brahmaji himself taught it to his son, and his son propagated it to his disciple, and that is how this Brahma Vidya had come through a Guru Sishya tradition. This is what he is telling, Guru Vachanath, but that alone will not do. The Guru should not go on speaking irrelevantly whatever comes to his mouth. Accepting Shruti Pramanat, everything that the teacher teaches must conform to the teachings. That is why if anybody claims, I have progressed in spiritual life, I had such a vision, it must be confirmed by Guru and also by the Shruti. Shruti means the scriptures. Guru and Shruti are not two separate things, because the Guru at one time was a disciple, and he got it from his guru, and what the original guru taught was nothing but pure knowledge. So here we get these two guidelines, the right teachings of the guru as well as the authority of the scriptures, rightly understood through one's guru and rightly interpreted and passed on to the disciple. Here was a real disciple, and he got it, and he became like Nachiketa. He also had progressed and realized the truth himself. Again, we have to remind any number of times, the Guru, what does he teach? Tattvamasi. It is of very importance. You are that. You are that ultimate reality, Brahman, Ishvara, God, whatever you call it. But if that teaching stops there, if the disciple does not realize, there is not much use. But he will realize. That's why he will confirm it from Svanubhuti, one's own experience. What is it? Aham Brahmasmi. But it should not stop there. I am Brahman is okay when I am alone. But when the same person has to look around and deal with this what we call mithya jagat, then he should not think of it as mithya. He should see the highest truth, which is Brahman, Jiva, Jagat, is exactly one and the same truth. Sarvam, Khalvidam, Brahma. So this disciple, Shruti Pramanat, Guru Vachanat, Param Avagamya. Avagamya means having understood. In Vedantic language, to be understood means not intellectual understanding, not even understanding without any doubts, absolute conviction because of Shraddha. Avagamya means he realized. And what did he realize? Satatvam, complete truth. Tattva means truth. Satatva means complete with all its ramifications. Atma yuktiya. He became one with the highest Atman. He became Avinabhava Sambandha, That means complete oneness. I am that Atman, which my teacher has been trying to inject into my mind in so many ways. As a result, what happened? Prashamita Karanaha. His mind has become absolutely tranquil, equanimous, acquired samadarshitva and samahitatva. His mind is completely under his control. In that state, having realized, made his mind immovable like the lamp placed in a windless place and with absolute nirvikalpa samadhi, kvachit, for some time, achalakritihi, completely oblivious of the world, both external as well as internal. Why is this shloka telling? External we can understand. But internal means the mind creates so many dreams, fantasies, imaginations. This person's mind has become filled with Brahman, inside, outside, without the least bit of differentiation. How do we know? Is the concluding words prove it? Atmanishthito abhut, became completely merged in one's own self, realizing at a blessed moment the supreme truth through the above instructions of the Guru, the authority of the scriptures and his own reasoning, with his senses quieted and the mind concentrated. What happened? Who? The disciple became immovable in form and perfectly established in the Atman. I cannot resist but recollect the state of Totapuri's mind, Sri Ramakrishna Sadvaita Vedanta Guru. He initiated him, instructed him, left him in that hut, which even now visitors can see, this most sacred thing in the Panchavati, and then he went. The Guru had no idea what Sri Ramakrishna was. So he thought, like me, he would be there in that state, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours for a short time, and then he will come out and make pranams. Of course, you know, every Guru expects pranams from the disciple. But there was no news at all. Hours passed. Totapuri was surprised. Then he went inside, found him completely unconscious to the outer world. And we have to add inner world too. And immovable. And Totapuri Maharaj was an expert in examining the physiognomy and know whether some state is samadhi or coma or unconscious state or deep sleep. He went and examined, found all the signs of the highest samadhi, and he was shocked. How long did it last? One day gone, second day gone, third day gone. Totapuri could hold himself no longer. So he filled the whole Panchavati with his Vedantic roar, Hari Om, Hari Om. And at last he went and started, I should not say, but shouting in the ears of his disciple, and slowly the mind of Sri Ramakrishna came out. When we read this shloka, we will have to compare this disciple, I think, perhaps, attained to that state, immovable, and that is the state of not only Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, or any other great saint. Anybody who attains this samadhi becomes completely immovable. Perhaps the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna also would recollect, once Girishchandra Ghosh and Swami Vivekananda, Narayan at that time, went to Panchavati, because that was a quiet place, and sat down for meditation. And Girish Ghosh was later on reminiscing, recollecting, and said, I could not sit even for 1 second because it is full of very big, huge black mosquitoes. But I saw Narayan's body was completely undressed, naked, and his whole back was filled like a blanket with these mosquitoes, and I was thinking, what a great soul that I cannot even sit for a millisecond and here is a person who is capable of sitting here and completely merging himself, thoroughly unconscious. And our devotees must exercise some more imagination. Not only Swami Vivekananda, you just imagine, several years earlier, Sri Ramakrishna used to go into that very same jungle, even into deeper jungle, and spend whole nights, including daytime. And how many blessed mosquitoes must have received the prasada, and they have, as a joke, they have been born in this life as devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, but they have not got over their biting nature, still they exercise it. So this disciple is telling that I have realized that truth because of the grace of the Guru and the teachings of the scriptures. So what happened then? 480th verse. Kanchit kalam samadhaya pare brahmani manasam vyathaya paramanandat idam vachanam abravit. The disciple, this is the description of some third person observing that disciple's condition. Kanchit kalam, sometime, pare brahmani, in the supreme reality, Brahman, manasam samadhaya, keeping his mind merged in the highest Brahman. Kanchit kalam, after some time, vithaya, he came out, that means he became conscious of this external world. And he recollected his experience. What was the result? Paramananda. He became filled with Brahmananda. Paramananda means not great happiness, but the supreme happiness, which is called Brahmananda. The devotees of Sri Ramakrishna must remember that Sri Ramakrishna used to classify all the anandas into three types. Vishaya ananda, Bhajanananda, Brahmananda. But devotees also have to remember what I said. Ananda has to be divided into really five categories. Vishaya Ananda, that is sensory enjoyment. Medhananda, intellectual happiness. Kalananda, aesthetic enjoyment. Then Dharmananda, the joy that comes out of practicing morality, dharma, ananda, and ultimately that indescribable paramananda. Why did I say indescribable? Because even the most ordinary happiness also can never be described. If you have eaten a sweet, try to describe it to a person who had never eaten that sweet. Even that other person might have eaten plenty of other sweets, but that particular sweet's reaction in you can never describe. But the other person also compares it and understands, oh, that other sweet has given this joy in me, pleasure to me, so it must be something good. But he also adds that the quantitative and qualitative excellence of this particular enjoyment. So, Paramananda, idam vachanam abravit, as if he was addressing somebody, he could not contain himself, he has to express his inner joy. It is said that when Buddha had experienced that Bodhi, the highest illumination, and he was brought back to external consciousness by the divine will. And for 14 days, he went on running round and round that Bodhi Vriksha, under that particular tree, under which he attained illumination, because such great was the joy, he could not contain himself. So here, Sri Ramakrishna's condition also was like that. Just in case the devotees do not really remember, they must have read it, most of you, but they may not recollect it. Totapuri lived with Sri Ramakrishna for 11 months, and he attained the fullness completion of his own spiritual knowledge, and then he left. Then it is described in the Great Master by Swami Sharadananda. For 6 months, uninterruptedly, Sri Ramakrishna was in the highest bliss. Of course, he was an incarnation of God, and so he cannot be remaining there. Similarly, we can see Swami Vivekananda asked Sri Ramakrishna that I would like to remain in that state of samadhi. Sri Ramakrishna chided him and told him, you are of a small mind. I thought you were like a huge banyan tree under whose shade millions of travelers, not only in the present time but in future time also, will get rest. That means they will progress in spiritual life, and that is the true rest, and you are the guide. Of course, Swami Vivekananda means we always have to understand Sri Ramakrishna. So, concentrating the mind for some time on the Supreme Brahman, he, that means the disciple, rose and out of supreme bliss spoke as follows. I have to add a small note here. He says, Kanchit Kalam, a little bit of time. Now, when a person enters into this state, then he goes beyond time. So, this description is purely for our own enlightenment, and a person enters into samadhi, he cannot come out. A divine will alone can bring him out. Several times we discussed this subject, that a person enters into nirvikalpa samadhi, that person doesn't exist any longer as an individual. He becomes completely merged, unified with the ocean of Brahman. And what seems to, again, awaken that body-mind is purely water of the ocean, which means here, Brahman, Divine Mother. And through that body-mind, he lives for the welfare of the world, for doing good to a lot of spiritual aspirants. So, what is the important point? Kala is only for those who are bound. Time, space and causation is a bond, that which keeps us within this samsara completely bound. But for those who enter, there is no kala. Not to speak of those people, even we, when we enter into the deep sleep, we are not aware of time. So we don't count time from the viewpoint of sleep, but upon waking up, I was awake until that time. Now I have become awake, and the difference between that last time, my experience, and now is so many hours. Please keep this in mind. So the disciple is now expressing directly his own experience. Buddhir vinashta galita pravrutti brahmatmanoh ekataya adhigatya idam na jane api anidam na jane kimva kiyadva sukham asya param. So he is telling buddhir vinashta, what we call the antakarana, the mind, which means the manas, chitta and buddhi and ahankara. That was what in the Nirvana Shatkam we see, mano buddhi ahankara chitta ni naham. So this buddhi vinashta, completely it has become destroyed until this time. Until this disciple attained that state of samadhi. What was the buddhi doing? The buddhi says, I am this particular jiva, this particular individual. That individuality has been completely lost. Then, pravrutti galita. Pravrutti means the functions. All the waves, thought waves, chitta vrittis, completely come to a standstill. Remember, Patanjali is defining yogaha chitta vrutti nirodaha. That's being quoted here. Galita pravruttihi. All the mentations, thoughts, imaginations, ideas, dreams, fantasies completely became, galita means merged. Merged in what? Merged in one particular vrutti, which is called பிரம்மாக்கார விருத்தி. ஹியர் தெர் இஸ் எ வண்டர்ஃபுல் பாயிண்ட். வென் ஏ பர்சன் இஸ் இன் தி ஸ்டேட் ஆஃப் நிர்விகல்ப சமாதி, தேர் இஸ் நோ புத்தி அண்ட் தேர் இஸ் நோ மென்டேஷன் அண்ட் ஹீ டசன்ட் நோ வெதர் ஐ ஆம் ஒன் ஆர் மோர், ஜஸ்ட் ஐ ஆம். பட் வென்ஸ் தட் பர்சன் பிகம்ஸ் அவேர் ஆஃப் திஸ் வேர்ல்ட், மீன்ஸ் அவேர் ஆஃப் தி பாடி அண்ட் மைண்ட், தென் தி அகங்கார சேஸ் ஒன்லி ஒன் தி, அஹம் பிரம்மாஸ்மி, ஐ ஆம் பிரம்மன். தென் வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் டு ஆல் தி மென்டேஷன்ஸ்? வாட் எவர் ஹி லுக்ஸ் இட், தட் இஸ் ஆல் சீஸ். திஸ் இஸ் ராமா, தட் இஸ் ராமா, எவ்ரி சர்வம் ராமமயம் ஜகத், தி ஹோல் யூனிவர்ஸ், லிவிங் நான் லிவிங், everything becomes completely transformed into ramamaya galita pravruttihi. All the mentations have become completely merged in that one, and in Vedantic language this is called brahmakara vritti, and in Ramakrishna's devotee's language kalikakara vritti. Ramakrishna, when he became conscious of this external world, he sees only the Divine Mother, whom he used to call as Kali, and we call it the Saguna, Brahma, Vishnu, Rama, Krishna, etc. Vedantins call it Brahmakara Vritti. Whatever it is, there is only one thought. This is Rama in this form. This is Rama in that form. This is Rama living. This is Rama non-living. This is called pravrutti or mentations. So, what is that mentation? Brahmatmanoh ekataya adhigatya. This complete, perfect realization, adhigatya. What is Brahmatmanoh ekataya? That Brahman, that supreme soul, that cosmic reality, and this individual reality. There is no such thing cosmic or individual. What exists is Atman. That was the realization. And then he says, idam na jane, what is this? I don't know this as this. I don't know the other thing as the other. All of us, we suffer from this. This is me and you are yourself. I am sitting here, everything is elsewhere. But this person, it is not that his mind is not aware. It is completely aware, more aware than anything else. So, in Vedantic language, what he is trying to tell is, let me first tell you what is our experience. Each human being, each living creature goes through three experiences: the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. So, when we are in the waking state, we are aware of this waking state as the reality. So similarly, the dream state is reality when we are dreaming, and the deep sleep is the reality when we are in that sleep. At all times, this identity, this reality is changing from one to the other. But here is a person, he doesn't know this is a waking state, this is a dream state, and this is a deep sleep state, because he remains, first of all, as a witness, sakshi. Though, mind you, the body undergoes the waking state, the mind undergoes the dream state, and the what we call causal body undergoes the deep sleep state. He becomes a witness. He never identifies himself with them, and yet other people see him. Oh, now he is awake, now he is sleeping and dreaming perhaps, and now he is in deep sleep. This is the estimate of the other people. But this person, you ask, he says, idam na jani, I don't know this is a waking state or not. And that also I don't know whether that was a dream state, that was a deep sleep state. And here also, because a person goes beyond time, the word that was, that is, and that will be, that idea itself becomes completely destroyed. Najane kimva kiyadva. So, I do not know about anything. And how many things are there? That means, simple words, I am not aware of anything. It doesn't mean he is unconscious. It means he is aware, completely aware of pure awareness, which we call pure consciousness. And that pure conscious state, which is called chit, is also called sukham asya param. This state, the highest state of the highest bliss, ananda swarupam. So this is what the disciple is telling so far. Now we are entering into 482. Vacha vaktum ashakyameva manasa mantum nava asvadyate sva ananda amruta pura purita parabrahma ambudhehe vaibhavam ambhorasi vishirna varshika silabhavam bhajan me manaha yasya amsha amsha lave vilinam adhuna anandatmana nirvrutam. He is trying to express that indescribable, inexpressible, yatra manovacha, mind and the speech return back. Every day also we are singing namo namo prabhu vakya mana atita eto vacho nivattante aprapya manasasaha. And still, for our sake, he is trying to do it. So let me first read the translation, then I will come to the explanation. The majesty of the ocean of Supreme Brahman, replete with the swell of the nectar-like bliss of the self, is verily impossible to express in speech, nor can it be conceived by the mind, in an infinitesimal fraction of which my mind melted like a hailstone getting merged in the ocean and is now satisfied with that essence of bliss. In simple words, it means my mind is completely merged in the ocean, and even though I was a very small individual self, infinitesimal self, and my capacity to enjoy was also very small, but as soon as I merged myself in this ocean of Brahman, I became verily Brahman, and that Brahmananda can never be expressed. Really speaking, our scriptures are telling about Brahmananda. First of all, the question comes, what is this Brahmananda? Can you describe what it is? No, I cannot describe. Why can't you describe? Because there is a law here. If we want to convey any piece of knowledge to anyone, then we can only convey that knowledge or information through what he already knows. Please remember this. You cannot convey to a child what he doesn't know. But if he knows something, you can say, you imagine 100 times more, and then perhaps he would be able to have a glimpse of what you are trying to convey to him. And here is Brahmananda Rasa, and he wants to express it. Sri Ramakrishna was not able to express it. Perhaps to give us the meaning of this particular verse, there was an experience of Sri Ramakrishna recorded by Swami Sharadanandaji in his most marvelous book, Sri Ramakrishna, the Great Master. Swami Sharadananda is describing this thus. Sri Ramakrishna was there at Dakshineswar, and all of us went there, and he said, my children, today I will tell you everything. What happens when the Kundalini rises to the higher and higher chakras, states of consciousness? Please always remember, chakra means a state of consciousness. If you don't understand it, you are not having chakras, but you are having chakra. Your mind, your head is reeling because of some difference. So now the Kundalini has reached the chakra, the state of anahata, the heart chakra. I see everything endowed with light. Then it went to the throat chakra, and that is Vishuddha chakra. And there the knowledge of the Brahman is much more clearer, and correspondingly the joy also was much more clearer. Then it went to the Agna chakra, the chakra which is located in the forehead between the two eyebrows. Then he is telling, the whole world has disappeared here. I see the Paramatma, but just like a person seeing a beautiful light of the lamp, hurricane, but there is a barrier of glass, as if the glass is so clean, as if the glass doesn't exist. So clearly I can see, but I cannot touch it, I cannot go near it because of this barrier. And this is the result of the heart, the Kundalini, or state of consciousness reaching this place. Now I will tell you everything. And then he became one with the Sahasrara Chakra. Who is there to describe? Then he came out and said, now I will tell you. Same thing happened. Then again he came out. I will tell you now. And the point is, so long as he was conscious of Dvaita, then that is the Sahasrara Chakra. This is me. I am able to see God clearly. And this is the result of this particular center of consciousness. Now I will tell you what is going to happen when I merge. When you merge, how can you tell? Try to describe your state of deep sleep. Tell me at what time you fell into deep sleep. Keep a stopwatch in your and go on counting and record exact second, millisecond when you entered into deep sleep. If you can do that, then you are greater than Sri Ramakrishna. You will be able to describe what is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So, he tried again and again, and then sadly he said, my children, I wanted to describe it, but my mother is not allowing me to tell it to you. And then Sharadadandi was really remarking, this good man wants to tell us, but this cruel woman, what business has she got to stop his mouth? Then he is remarking, did we understand at that time that he was trying to attempt to make the impossible possible? The description is possible when we are separate. Description is impossible when we become one with something. This is a general rule. So here also the same thing is telling, I have become completely merged in Brahmananda. And it is anything beyond mind, beyond expression. What it means is, only in the world of duality, one can express about something. Non-duality can never be expressed, can never be even hinted at, excepting one analogy, neti, neti, not this, not this. So, the majesty of the ocean of Supreme Brahman, and what is it? Not ordinary water, not salt water, not payasa like Kshira Samudra, but replete with the swell of the nectar like bliss of the self. It is verily impossible to express in speech, nor can it be conceived by the mind. It is impossible. He is only restating what has been umpteen number of times stated in the scriptures. Manovacharam agocharam avang manasa gocharam. Eto prapya nivartate. Namo namo prabhu vakyamana atita. Here, Shankara gives a beautiful analogy. Sometimes there will be hailstorm. Big, big ice stones will be falling from the sky. Such a stone falls into the ocean. And this is water, that is a stone. So there is no similarity between them. But the moment the hailstone touches the water, it becomes completely transformed, melted into water, becomes one with this ocean. Thus, through this analogy, the disciple, the sadhaka, who attained to this state, he is trying to convey to us, I was an individual. Then, by the grace of the Guru, I fell into this ocean of Brahma and I became completely melted. And now, you ask me to describe, it is impossible to describe. Sri Ramakrishna is a past master in similes and analogies. So, conveying this, the most ordinary understandable words, Ramakrishna gives two examples. So this is a pleasure for me to recollect and then to unify the statements of the scriptures with the expressions of Sri Ramakrishna. There was a young girl, she was married, and then her husband along with his friends came, and they were all sitting, and some of the friends of this girl did not know who the husband was. So they go on asking, "Is that person your husband?" She says, "No." "Is the other person?" "No." And at last, after denying neti, 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 there was no choice but to point out to one particular young man, "Is that your husband?" At this lady, this girl, she bends down her head and smiles. And by that, they understand that person is the husband of that girl. In other words, the anubhuti, the experience of Brahman, can never be described in words. The other analogy he gives is even better. A small girl of 3-4 years old asked her eldest sister, who got married, "Sister, what type of happiness you derive from your husband?" And the eldest sister, being eldest, she can only reply in one way. She says, "You grow up, you get married, and then you will understand what type of happiness I get." So this is the condition. It is impossible to describe. But as I said, if it is impossible to describe, how do we understand it? With complete faith, Shraddha, in the words of the scriptures, having yam labdhva cha aparam labham manyate nadhikam tataha, having obtained that invaluable gain, nothing else is comparable to it. A person doesn't want anything else. And then he also says, even such a person of realization is in the midst of the greatest sorrows. He doesn't feel the sorrow, because this is a common law again. So long as we are happy, we cannot think of unhappiness. So having attained that state, something remarkable happens. The person becomes completely free from differentiation. So I mentioned 4 characteristics of the effects of a realization of Atman. First, he is always happy, whatever be the circumstances. Second, he is filled completely with love. He doesn't make the slightest distinction. Third, he treats everybody exactly in the same manner, internally of course, not externally. What do I mean? Holy Mother treated all her children exactly alike. So she made a statement, "For me, my son Sharad and Amjad, my son, they are equally both my children only." That was her attitude towards both of them. There was not the slightest distinction. But then, not in treatment. When she feeds Sharad Maharaj, he would be brought inside, made to sit, and he would be served. But if the same Amjan had to be served, he will not be brought from inside. Why? Not because of her making distinction. Because she had to adhere to the local understandings, customs, so that there would not be hesitation among them. I remember a funny incident that Ramana Maharshi was there at Tiruvannamalai. Both Brahmins and non-Brahmins used to visit him. Both of them want him in their midst, especially at the time of eating food. And Brahmins would not consent to sit by the side of non-Brahmins. So Ramana Maharshi made a very wise rule. "All the Brahmins sit to one side of me, all the non-Brahmins sit on the other side." And everybody would be served exactly equally. So a Brahmagnani cannot make any differentiation. And Bhagavad Gita gives several examples. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini shunichaiva shrupakecha panditaha samadarshanaha atmaupamyena sarvatra samam sukham va dukham va. Such is the greatness. So these realized souls treat everybody exactly in the same way. That is the third characteristic. The fourth characteristic is that these great souls are ready to lay down their life even for the least of the people, because there is no least of the person, there is no poor, there is no rich, there is no good or evil. They see everybody as nothing but Brahman with names and forms. When we see these four characteristics in anybody, we can be very sure that such a person had attained to that highest state. We move on to the next verse. Vagatam kenava anitam kutralinam idam jagat adhunaiva maya drishtam nastikim mahat adbhutam. Vagatam, this universe which I have been perceiving in the waking state, dream state. Of course, even we, as soon as we enter into deep sleep state, we don't see any universe at all, as if it has vanished instantaneously, and we do not even know when it has vanished. So he says, where is the universe gone? By whom is it removed? And where is it gone? It was just now seen by me. And has it ceased to exist? It is passing strange. In other words, it is impossible to describe the experience of a Brahmagna. So he is telling, just now I was in the state of Dvaita. Jagat, universe means a state of duality. I am there, you are there, everything is there. Now suddenly the whole universe disappeared. To understand this in another way, I don't feel I am the body, I don't feel I am the mind. In fact, I don't even remember at one time I had a body and I had a mind, I became identified. The moment body, mind are forgotten, the entire world is forgotten. I have to remind you, the world is nothing but body and mind. And in deep sleep, we also have a glimpse. That is why it is called poor man's samadhi. So, kvagatam, where did this jagat completely gone? Kenava anitam, who had taken it away? Kutralinam idam jagat, where did kutra, where idam jagat, this universe, which has been experienced by me until now, kutra linam, where did it get merged so that I am unable to see it? It got merged because it became merged in myself, not in anybody else. Adhunaiva maya drishtam, just now I have been experiencing it. Nastikim, has it gone out of existence? Doesn't it exist anymore? Mahat adbhutam kim, what could be more surprising than this? So where is the universe gone? This is the experience of everybody, include Sri Ramakrishna. Just to recollect, Narendranath pestered Sri Ramakrishna for Nirvikalp Samadhi, and his request was granted by Sri Ramakrishna at Kasipur Garden House just a few days before Sri Ramakrishna passed away on a Shivaratri night, if I am not mistaken. Suddenly, this Narendra entered into that Nirvikalpa Samadhi state, and his mind was slowly coming out. Then he was telling, where am I? And where is my head? Where are my hands? Gopalda, later on Swami Advaitananda, he became frightened and mystified in a way. He ran to Sri Ramakrishna and says, sir, what happened to Narendra? He is talking these irrelevant things. Then Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, let him be. He had been pestering me for this experience for a very long time. Now let him enjoy. Do not worry. Do not get alarmed. He will come back to the normal state in a few minutes. So this is one of the expressions of the experience. There cannot be Brahman and world at the same time. If Brahman alone is the truth, only that Advaita, Brahman, Akhanda, Ananta, Paripurna Brahman alone will be there. Or there would be three: Brahman, Ishvara, Jagat, Chit and Achit. Chit, the conscious living things, Achit, non-living things, and Ishvara. Either there would be three or there would be none. So in this state of Nirvikalpa, the disciple had this wonderful experience. Then he is further telling, 484, Kim Heyam, Kim Upadeyam, Kim Anyat, Kim Vilakshanam, Akhanda Ananda Piyusha Purne, Brahma Maharnave. In the ocean of Brahman, filled with the nectar of absolute bliss, what is to be shunned and what accepted? What is other than oneself and what different? In other words, there is absolutely no second. When there is no second, the question of this is what I like, this is what I dislike, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, this is me, this is the other, all those dualistic conceptions vanish like mist when the sun rises. In that state, nobody will be aware. Exactly the same state is there in the state of deep sleep for all of us. Here, something very important we have to recollect. Supposing a Brahmana, a king, a pauper, and an illiterate person, and a cow, or a mosquito, all of them enter into deep sleep. Will there be a distinction? This is a mosquito, this is an elephant, this is a Brahmana, this is a king. No distinctions will be there. And in that state, there is no second. Everybody will be exactly the same pure consciousness, covered of course by Avaran Shakti. So this is what the disciple is telling. There is nothing to be given up. There is nothing to be desired. And there is nothing other than myself. And what is it said? Akhanda Ananda. This is Akhanda, divisionless, indivisible. Ananda, it is one complete ocean of bliss. Piyusha means Amruta. Amruta means a person becomes Asatoma Sadgamaya. Mrityorma Amrutangamaya. Piyusha, an ocean of nectar. Purna, it is perfect. Brahma Maharnave. For the human description, that Brahman is compared to a great ocean of bliss, Sat, Chit, Ananda. Then 485, Nakinchid Atra Pashyami, Nashrunomi, Navedmyaham, Swatmana Eva, Sada Ananda Rupena Asmi, Vilakshanaha. I neither see, nor hear, nor know anything in this. I simply exist as the Self, the eternal bliss, distinct from everything else. Nakinchid Atra Pashyami. I do not see anything. Why? Because there is nothing to be seen excepting me. I do not hear anything. There is no other sound excepting me. Vedmyaham. I do not know anything. In other words, this Panchabhutas, five elements, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, completely vanish in that state. Then, Swatmana Eva. I am myself. Sada Ananda Rupena Asmi. Always swimming in the bliss of joy, Vilakshanaha, it is completely different from everything that we know. Eka Akhanda Rasanubhutihi. These are the expressions of the disciple. Then as if suddenly he became aware, I am only talking about myself, but here is my Guru. Without his grace, I would never have been able to attain. So he is repeating, Namo Namaste Gurave Mahatmane Vimukta Sangaya Saduttamaya Nitya Advaya Ananda Rasaswarupine Bhumne Sada Apara Daya Ambudhamne. Repeated salutations to the noble teacher who art devoid of attachment, the best among the good souls, and the embodiment of the essence of eternal bliss, the one without a second, who art infinite, and ever the boundless ocean of mercy. This verse contains one of the most marvelous sentiments, and India is one country who pays the highest homage to Guru or one's own teacher, even comparable to what we call Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara. These are wonderful ideas. We will discuss from here in our next class, which would be day after tomorrow, exactly at 5 o'clock. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapatme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji bless us all.